You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and today Lou is not with me. We're going old school, back to when it was just me. Are y'all fans enough of the show to remember when it was just me? For a little while, well, we're back to it. So that means this episode may be a little bit shorter. There's also going to be less pushback, which means I can say whatever I want and nobody can tell me otherwise, which is dangerous at the very least. But today's episode is going to be very simple, very practical, something I've been thinking about. In the earlier version of the show, it was more obvious that it was like this. It still has the underlying tone of this, but one of the main purposes of the show from the beginning was to kind of be a journal, an audio journal of my progress through my career. So things that I'm learning currently, things that are important to me right now, things that are changing, what I hope changes, things that I see in myself. And that way, when I look back at older episodes, I can see the progress that I've made, or if I ever show my children or grandchildren, or they discover my podcast, then they too can not just learn obvious tips and techniques, but can kind of also see the progress of my career. So if you've been a longtime listener of the podcast, you'll notice that my career has shifted in some ways very subtly and has shifted in some ways incredibly. When we first started, I was in Utah, for example, and now we are in Los Angeles. And when I first started, I had some work. Now it's we're getting into some label stuff, which is a totally different game. I want everybody who's listening, as well as for myself, to showcase, you know, the different thought processes. There's been times where I've been extremely arrogant, more than just always, you know, above baseline. And there's been times where I've been very well thoughtful and surprisingly so many times. Today's episode is going to be fairly practical, something that we've talked about in the past, but I want to reemphasize. One of the things that I'm going through currently is I'm going through the decision of whether or not I want to redesign my studio. I have a big desk with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times 3, 24U of rack right in front of me, 24 rack spaces, 24U. And then I have my monitor behind that and my speakers on stands on the back end of the desk. And I love this setup. And if you've ever seen my Instagram, then you know what it looks like currently. And I love it, but I've been seeing a trend here in Los Angeles, and something that I got on before I got this big desk and I was trying out for about a year was the minimalist small desk setup, something that I still see more and more people converting to, which is the concept of, one, having a little bit less gear, or moving it off to the side out of the way, and having just a plain desk with a minimalist feel, just a computer monitor, mouse and keyboard, maybe a monitor controller, just super simple. And I personally dig that aesthetic. I think it comes off, for me, I see it as, I love the minimalist type, elegant. I think there's like, I love the, you know, the traditionally Japanese elegance, which is more simplified and less cluttered. I do like that. And it feels a little bit more zen, you know, maybe cozy, whatever words you want to use that are trending right now. But I'm deciding whether or not to go back and do that again. And as I've been trying to consider redesigning my studio, there's a few concepts that I want to bring up. In past episodes, Lou and I have brought up many times that a trip to IKEA may make you more money than a trip to Sweetwater or to Guitar Center. The reason why this is important is, unfortunately, whether or not you like it, I find, through observation as well as personal experience, that looking like you know what you're doing is almost as important, if not more important, than actually knowing what you're doing. Now, obviously, both parts of that are extremely important. But if you know what you're doing, but you don't look like you do, you don't get a first shot. You might be able to keep, once you get a shot, you might be able to keep those clients for a long time and you become everybody's best kept secret. But you don't want to be everybody's best kept secret. You want to be someone that's well known to do good work. And how are you to get more first time customers or clients if you don't look like you know what you're doing? And I hate that. Like, this is a part of humanity, the part of human nature, you know, that is unfortunate, difficult, but can be empowering and used to help you build clientele, especially if your studio is something that you show on social media quite often, or more likely you are into recording and producer where clients come into the studio. Even if you don't post it that much, I mean, mixing and mastering engineers typically, depending if it's not a big studio, there's no real big need to show your space. But if you're planning on showing your space, if you're planning on making content, or if you are, again, bringing in clients for recording and producing, looking like you know what you're doing is very important. And again, even if you're just making silly little YouTube videos with the goal of making money off of YouTube rather than from recording or mixing or whatever, again, looking like you know what you're doing is very important. We see this in YouTube all the time. Videos that look very professional, edited very well, for some reason, people tend to trust them a little bit more. Again, regardless of whether or not that's good, that's just reality. So there's a few different things that I want you to consider as a listener to help clean up your space. And part of the cleaning up your space is not just for the clients and to help potentially make it look like you know what you're doing, but also for your own personal mental decluttering. As creatives who are typically high in openness, as much as we can, the more that we declutter, the more that we have to create the space to create and think. So I want to be creative. So I have made a list of a few things that I think everybody should be doing from time to time, and things that I do from time to time that can, for very little or for free, revamp the space, make you look a little bit more professional, and things that matter on a day-to-day basis. So number one, how often do you clean up, vacuum your studio, clean up your studio, take out the trash, throw stuff away. I'm a huge fan of kind of like the Marie Kondo, does this spark joy? Does this item make you happy? If not, throw it away. Even with my kids' toys, I'm kind of brutal in the sense that if I don't see them playing with it often, or if I see them throwing it around the room, I will throw it away. If they don't touch it for a long time, I will watch. If they haven't played with it in a year, in a month, or even in a couple weeks, or if things are broken or left on the floor, I will throw it away. I will definitely throw away. If my children get sad, and this is something where I don't want to use the word entitlement, I don't think, but I have the the relative flexibility where I'm willing to throw things away. And if I really need it in the future, I'm willing to go on Amazon and pay the $10 to $40 or whatever it is to buy it again if I really need it. And obviously it's different for more expensive items, but I want to throw it away. The idea is, I mean, I've even heard concepts as far as like, if you have stuff in storage and you haven't even opened it and looked at it for years, like don't even open it again, just throw it away, just let it go. The more space that you have, the more open the room feels, and obviously the more professional you want. This is really potentially judgmental, but again, this is just kind of part of human nature, and I want to emphasize that it makes very little effect practically, but it can showcase that your priorities and your values. Things like, I've even heard people say something like this, not myself, but I've heard others comment and say to my car, DK, I can tell that you take care of your stuff, that you have your shit together because your car is clean. And I know that's like really stupid. That's really stupid. But at the same time, there is some level of PR that goes into keeping your car clean and someone seeing that. Especially when you have two young kids. It's hard to keep your car clean. And there's some effort that I find personal joy with it. I'm not naturally a clean person at all. But I'm finding more joy in keeping a clean home and a clean office every day. The amount of hours we spend every week just cleaning up the house after the kids is pretty crazy. But if I'm able to keep my house clean, my office clean, my car clean with kids, relatively speaking, it's not all the time. There are going to be moments. If you catch me off guard, it will not be clean. But if you keep your things clean, then that will actually go towards a personal brand and will also help you in your mental health, keep a clear mind. So there's a lot of benefits to that, obviously. So go ahead and vacuum that studio, clean space up, throw things away. And for a lot of people, if your studio room is bright pink or bright purple or like mint green, like my shirt that I'm wearing right now, if you're watching on YouTube, you need to paint that shit. Oh my goodness, that is so gaudy. It's so gaudy. Please stop. Paint it like a normal ass color, even if it's more subdued color like navy or like a forest green or like a pastel, some sort of Scandinavian pastel. Do not, oh my goodness, just paint that. Just paint that. That don't use like cheap paint that was at Home Depot because it didn't sell. It didn't sell for a fucking reason. Okay, paint your studio. And that's like a one-time thing. You do it. It's fairly cheap. You just paint it. It's just a lot of labor. Not even that much labor. Okay. Number two, I already said decluttering, throwing things away. Toys are cool. I have a lot of toys. I have like a lot of manga, for example. I have a lot of like figurines from anime that I really like. I mean, if you're watching on YouTube, I have like Elmo and Big Bird over here, as well as Joe Dart bobblehead from Wolfpack. I even have like, I build mechanical keyboards. So I have like a mechanical keyboard over here, a couple mechanical keyboards on my desk shelf. I have toys. I like toys, but with a proper use of space, I think toys can bring accents and can kind of bring a vibe, but throw things away, put things away. I've done this multiple times because I've moved studios multiple times and there's a lot of things that stay in the storage boxes that don't come out. I'm trying to be, and I think I'm going to declutter again with this next redesign here where I'm going to remove, or at least I'm going to add a little corner shelf back here if you're watching on YouTube, a little corner shelf, and I'm going to move my toys from my desk to my corner shelf so I can have an accented corner while leaving my desk a little bit more decluttered. That's the hope there, and I think that that's really important. Number three is Pinterest, the power of Pinterest. Now, this is something that a lot of people use. So if you aren't already using Pinterest, Pinterest is a very powerful app. I like it a lot. There's been times in my life where I use Pinterest more than any other social media. It's not even a social media. And you can build boards. It's basically like a digital cork board that you gather pictures and videos of. It's like, it's just an inspiration cork boards, and you can have different inspirational boards and you can pin different pictures to them. I've used this a lot for interior design. I'm not an interior designer by any mean, but as I've designed different studios and offices, I steal inspiration from other studios that I really like, and it comes together in my own way based on my preferences. So I'm not copying somebody else's, but I'm taking heavy inspiration from specific ones. But it's not, anyway, so using a Pinterest for inspiration. I think that's also really important to help you figure out what your personal flavors are, your personal color scheme and designs that you really like, your accents. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But to have a clear vision, one of the things that I don't think you should do is just redesign your space or design your space without having a clear inspiration or clear collage of ideas. That you have to, I think that this is almost mandatory. Very few savants can do that. Like, I don't think anyone can be creative and stay organized on a blank canvas without a shit ton of experience. And none of us listening to this podcast are professional interior designers. If we were, I don't know why you're doing music. All right. I'm teasing. That is like really important. So again, the importance of Pinterest or organization of, you know, it's okay if you like purple or if you like Gundam, but you don't like whatever. Some people like a closey, more greeny, leafy aesthetic, things of that nature. So whatever, it's important to choose inspiration based on your personal flavors. And if you can go into your board that you've created and start deleting the ones that you like less, you can really hone in and be specific with your preferences, which the last point that we're going to talk about is the distinction, and the more specific of an aesthetic it is, the better it is. But the next thing that I want to talk about is really important. This is a big one for me, and this should be a big one for you. This is something that everyone should be working on constantly. It's fairly cheap to do. It just takes some planning and quite a bit of labor. And there's a bunch of tools on Amazon to do this, which is cable management. I'm going to say that again, with your desk, cable management. This is a big deal within like the tech remote work kind of industry. If you work from home, if you code, you know, cable management is important. I'm going to tell you this right now. Like, I've seen, we are always constantly posting our setups on whatever website or forums, on Discord, on Instagram. I think the number one indicator of whether or not I think something looks professional is cable organization, like cable management. If I can see a single fucking power cable, it just throws off the entire vibe and looks less well thought out. It looks less thought out. That's what it is. If you can get away with making it everything look wireless, hiding cables, clipping them underneath the desk, using some sort of cable box behind the desk, screwing them in, using some like 3N tape and taping them on the down the back of the table leg, so it's always hidden. You get a rug and you hide the cable under the rug. If you can somehow get away with doing less cables, or I've seen studios where they only have one thick cable where they have like some sort of like wrap around the cable. So you have like 10 cables, but it's wrapped to make look like one thick cable, and that one thick cable is just going across to the desk. So you minimize the amount of cables that it looks so professional. It looks so well thought out. If you have a monitor and some audio, like studio monitors and some headphones, but it's just like a shit ton of cables underneath the desk, below the desk, and it's just a mess. It's almost metaphorical. I don't know what it is. It feels metaphorical. It feels like an insight into the way someone thinks. So you just mess it up in the back, but you make the front look respectable. Like that's just, it's okay if the back looks messy, but you just got to hide it, you know? Look at some of the best studios on Pinterest or on Instagram. The cleanest looking ones always have great cable management. So again, with $15, you can get like a 195-piece Amazon cable management set. You can get some cable hiding boxes that you can screw in for cheap, or like do some 3M tape. Anyway, cable management is important. Something that constantly needs to be tweaked, especially as you add more gear. And a lot of studio desks, if you are considering buying a desk for your studio, many, many studio desks come with some sort of cable management systems where you can hide cables underneath. So that's just important. Keep them off the floor or hide them behind legs or something like that. Very big. Last thing is lighting. This is more important for if you're taking videos like I am. Like, I have a lighting setup that is conducive to good lighting for when I live stream and make YouTube videos. This is, I have to do very little color adjustment. It's very easy. It looks purple in the background, except it's light on my face. You can see it, so it's just very conducive to that. But lighting as well as like color schemes. Some people go as far as going into, there's a lot of like psychology-based stuff, like different colors tend to provoke different emotions in different people. I don't know what they are. I don't care for it. I just like the color purple, but apparently purple pisses people off the most. I don't know. I don't care. I like, you got to like what you like. You got to be pretty clear about it. And having good lighting in the studio, keeping it vibrant, if you like vibrant, if you like it really dark, yeah, whatever it is, with LEDs, with light setups. There's I've seen like RGB different types of setups, and the cool thing about any sort of like Grovy RGB type setup is that you can change the color scheme, and you can even change the warmth of the white, make it more yellow, or make it more daylight, make it more blue, things of that nature. Okay, the last thing is to have a distinct style. Now, this is a metaphor into anything creative, including mixing. At the end of the day, as a mixer, you want, the job is to not be noticed. Like if you, a good mix, nobody will think about the mix. They'll just listen to the song, right? And with the studio setup, but at the same time, like also a great mix, you have maybe you have like a, like you come to that conclusion, you come to that mix based off of your personal filters and biases that you naturally create from your taste. That's more of kind of like an inevitable thing, but if you can utilize that to create more of a brand, even better for you. The more distinct of a preference that you have, the more specific you have. Some people really like steampunk. Some people really like Disney. Some people really like Jordans and Nike. Some people are hypebeast. Some people are childish. Some people love, fuck it, some people love Pokemon, you know, like Lou. And I think more importantly is to, if you have a distinct style, whatever that is that you find and describe and come to terms with through inspiration boards like Pinterest, through saving things on Instagram, things of that nature, the more clear you are with your branding and your styling. This goes into heavily into our marketing episodes that we've done in the past about avatars and knowing who your customer is. For example, if you are trying to be a hip hop studio, you want to make hip hop music, it's probably not a good idea to just do a bunch of Barbie stuff everywhere, right? But if you are a studio that is, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, some weird, unique way, if you really, really, really like Barbies and you're trying, I don't know, that's not a good example. But there's different ideas and aesthetics that can attract different crowds. That's all I'm going to say. And if you are able to use your own preference, like you wouldn't want to attract hip-hop clients if you don't actually like hip-hop. So if you like hip-hop culture, then you'll probably like sneakers. You probably like different hypebeast fashion brands and things of that nature. So that would fit well. So I think that this will be natural, but I think you should also consider doing things on purpose. Again, whatever that means, it's okay to be different, even if you are hip hop. I know a couple hip hop studios, one hip hop studio that does a lot of hip hop and Afro beats, but it's like a total steampunk vibe, you know, because that's what the engineer really likes. And it works really well. It's very conducive to that. So just something to think about, put in your own personal flavor, your own personal tastes. And to be specific, don't be afraid to use your own personal taste, but also do consider your customers, your clientele, and who you want to bring into the studio, what kind of clients you want to attract. Because whether or not you do it on purpose, you are building a personal brand. So might as well do it on purpose. That is one of our biggest things that we always say on this podcast. And I think that's pretty much it. It's pretty clear. I care for my space. I'm sure you do. And as we all continue to go through different cycles and evolutions of our recording, mixing, studio spaces, our creative spaces, that we continue to upgrade and not just change. We also upgrade our thinking, our processes, our artistic personalities and direction processes. I hope we continue to upgrade them for better efficiency and for more clarity. And as we get more focused, I'm sure that there will be more focused experience and focused clientele as well. So these are things that have been on my mind. Again, cable management is huge. Please, please take care of your cables. I'm always trying to hide mine. It's a difficult one, but it takes a time. It takes time, but it's really, really helpful. And on that note, if you want more technical tips, like how to use a compressor, how to use an EQ, how to change up a kick drum, how to make the kick drum and bass balance, I don't know, whatever, phase, overheads, linear phase EQs, drum triggering, things of that nature, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get 2 exclusive episodes every single week. Me and James from James Dean Mixes, me and James, we go over YouTube clips, live stream clips, Instagram clips, TikTok clips, and we talk about the nuances of different technical tips from various different producers and engineers, and we break them down and simplify them and explain them in a way that works best to start including into your own workflow. And there's even a few episodes where I'm like, I've never tried that. That's going to be my emphasis this week as I try to do that. So it's fun. Like, it's very honest, fun. And it's just the two of us. And it's because it's behind a paywall and not everybody's going to listen to it. I have to put a little bit of an acting, you know, like I fan bait a lot on this podcast. I piss people off on purpose. But on the exclusive stuff, since it's a lot more private, we get like the real DK, the real James kind of behind the scenes. So it's a lot more it's a lot of fun. And on that note, so again, once again, that's mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive for $4 a month or $40 a year. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you have some other topics that you do want to hear, join our Discord and type them into the chat. Tag me or Lou or James if you want more exclusive episode stuff. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.